We Like Dota is brought to you with the generous support of our patrons. Patrons like Yield Graven, Ninja Scouts, Samson Magnuson, RX Cowbell, Surreal, CBX, Mr. Fancy Pants, Bean Dob, Monster, Icebug, Spenguin, Titus Andromedon, Dank, Zionison, Billy Kauschef, Paul Turner, Jeff Peterson, Digital Nick, Edge, Javier Lato Play, and Wisp. If you'd like to join this list of patrons, head over to our website and follow the links to the Patreon. We Like Dota, episode 296, starts now. Welcome, listeners, to We Like Dota. This is your host for the day, Jim. And I am joined by Charlene.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Internet.
Hello, Charlene. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Not bad.
Yeah? You know what? Not bad.
What's that?
I'm pretty excited for August 9th.
Yeah.
So smooth. You gotta ask me why.
Yeah. Why? What's that?
Oh.
But I'm looking at the notes. I know what it is, but...
It's because
Arian will take care of this. Okay, go.
Will he? He's just gonna leave it in there.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, Jim, you ask why? Because August 9th we're gonna be having our live episode because it is our 300th. And
a live episode, really?
A live episode, yeah. We'll stream it, we'll have face cam on. At least I think it'll be a full booth. I'm pretty sure we got the new parent, Sam the Plaid Pirate himself, to say that he should tentatively be available. So you and I and Arian and Sam will all be there. I have a rousing single round of Jeopardy planned out, which I'm excited to do. And
nice. Is it 30 questions? Like a single board of Jeopardy?
A single board of Jeopardy, yes, correct.
Wow.
I actually think it's 25 questions.
Oh, yeah.
So okay. It's five categories, sorry. Okay. I hope that doesn't...
Yeah, you might know Jeopardy better than me.
I don't know at all. Just the template I used gave me five columns and I just went with it.
That's probably right.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, lovely listener, two or three of you. Please tune in. We'd be very happy to stream live to the void of the internet, but then also hopefully have some like interactive bits in there, and it'll be a good time. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it's going to be our Twitch stream, right?
Yeah, Twitch stream.
And we'll record it, presumably, right? Put it on YouTube, probably release it as a podcast episode by audio, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Whoever does the technology stuff.
We should probably iron out those details earlier than later.
I've gotten this far without doing that. So just email whoever's in charge.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun. I can't wait for the game show. And we'll take questions from the Twitch chat.
Mm-hmm,
Which hopefully... It'll be interesting seeing Twitch chat that's not just like... You know, a cesspool.
Or it might be.
It could be, yeah. It's a different kind.
Yeah.
It'll be fun, though. I can't wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
So in the meantime, mm-hmm. we've been playing some Dota.
Oh, yeah.
How has your week been?
And how has it made me feel?
Yeah.
Oh, look at it go! Oh, yeah!
My week's been all right. I think at the moment, Dota's kind of weird because I'm playing it with purpose.
Oh.
Which is cavern and guild contracts.
Yeah.
So it feels kind of grindy in a way. Like it's... Like, I always open up Dota with a certain intention in mind. Like, I am going to, you know, play X hero to do this. And it makes all my games kind of blur together because then it's just, I'm not like in the moment having fun with my games. It's more goal oriented of like, I need to do this thing. So
how does that make you feel, Charlotte?
How does it make, Jim, let me tell you. So I feel fine. I guess I'm missing the fun aspect of Dota, right? Because usually I would use it more as an outlet to unwind and whatnot. Right. So that's gone. But at the same time, I'm also an incredibly goal-oriented person. So being able to like tick off things also has its own like surge of dopamine, and I feel good each time.
Okay.
So it's kind of an equal trade-off. Like overall, I've been still happy with my Dota experience. It's just the source of that happiness is quite different.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Gotcha.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
I've been doing it similarly. Very focused on the cavern.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like every game, well, number one, so these contracts, like, okay, listen up.
Tell us, Jim, tell us.
Yeah, I don't want to get off on a rant here, but if you don't know if you're going to be playing Dota later in the day, you don't jump on the good contracts early.
Yeah, I've run into that.
Yes, and I never know except on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm like, oh, I had a little bit of time to play a game or two. Who's on? Oh, some, you know, Cowbell's always on late at night.
Mm-hmm.
See, Bea's always on. And then I'm like looking through the, and it's like, win a game with Oracle. And it's like all that's left. And it's all stuff that's not on my cavern. So I have like a lot of trouble like lining up cavern and guild contracts.
Mm, yeah, for sure.
I got a chance to do it last week, and it was pretty cool. I got Axe. So I got, like, and no one took the Axe contracts. There were two Axe contracts, and it was fun. But I got the Nyx set.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah, I've been clearing
out. Have you unlocked the other style, though?
I unlocked Style 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not gotten to Falfel to unlock Style 3.
Oh, okay.
Because I have two utility rooms left, and the Falfel token is in one of them.
Oh, well, at least it's only narrowed down to two.
Yeah.
Like, I have so many cavern things still, because I ended up playing very similar heroes to fill my contracts, so I don't get a lot of diversity in terms of heroes there. And then when I go to play my cavern, it's just like, I always play turbo games now, too, so... You know, you have to play two turbo games and win them in order to clear out the contract. So, the cavern.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah, like late at night, like you can't take the like hero agnostic contracts.
That's true.
They're all gone. You know.
Yeah.
So you just have no choice but to take. And then like the stars are all like messed up because they'll be like win a game with. You know, Meepo, the one star. Like, winning a game with Warlock is two. And I'm like,
yeah.
Warlock, you hit buttons every 30 seconds. Like,
yeah.
I play Warlock. It's easy. I know that. That's why I play.
Yeah.
But I just can't find my way into Falfel because I can't get the utility token.
Oh. You'll get there. You still have some time.
Yeah. And it is fun. Like, when you do get those contracts done, and now you can see the contract, so it's even better.
Yeah. I forgot to give a quick shout out to Dank. Like he and I have been neck and neck for so long, but he's been like the reigning champion, and only now have I finally been able to surpass him. But only because I think he's European. I think like based on his time zone and stuff, it seems to be. But
I don't think so.
Oh, maybe not. Okay, never mind. But anyways, he is on a decently long vacation, which was like the second piece of evidence that I used to surmise that he was European, because what American has like 3 weeks for vacation?
What American can take a vacation?
Right, that's it.
Where are you gonna go?
But either way, he is on holiday right now and hasn't been playing Dota for the last couple of days, and that has enabled me to finally hold the reins as Generalissima.
Yes.
Top guild point earner of We Like Dota for now.
Yeah, you're the queen. You got it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's good. Yeah, I'm happy for you. I like, I'm like halfway up the leaderboards, and if I have like a good week, I'm yeah. like slightly above halfway up.
Nice. I mean,
and then sometimes I'm like halfway down.
No, but being relegated to only choosing from very specific contracts definitely limits your ability. So,
yeah,
I hear you there.
Thursdays at like the time they open, I'm like, I'm on grabbing them. Okay, nice. No, I'm playing tonight.
Yeah,
click, 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 3 stars. try to get magic damage, Charlene. One game with Zeus. Oh yeah. So I learned something about contracts.
Oh yeah.
That's important for our listeners. Mm-hmm. Contracts, when you start a game, are locked to the hero, not the player.
That's actually such a good tip.
Yeah, it's actually really important. Yeah. Or you could probably use it to benefit things, too.
Sure you can. Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, so I was playing with Greg, and we were up against, like, a Zeus spammer. Mm-hmm. And I was going to end up playing mid. But I'm like, someone should pick Zeus. And then Greg just like instantly picked Zeus. And I was like, all right, cool, I'll switch with you. And then I picked Earthshaker for him. Mm-hmm. And we swapped when we got into the game. I'm sitting there and I'm like trying to get denies. Like, I don't understand why this isn't counting my denies. I'm like, the game says I have 27 denies and the contract tracker only has 8. maybe luck day at the end. And, like, I'm, like, furiously trying to get extra magic damage at the end of the game, thinking I somehow didn't get 17,000 in a winning game of Zeus.
Right.
I'm like, oh, man, I only have, like, 15K. Like, let them stay alive. Like, give me vision. I have to keep lightning bolting into their fountain.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing that. And then, like, we end the game. I'm like, wait, I had, like, 58,000 hero damage. I had 27 denies. And then Greg's like, I had 15,000 magic damage.
We're
like, oh. And I didn't get his either. His was like stun 2 people at once.
Oh, yeah. Zeus wouldn't do that.
Zeus does not do that. So we both blew all of our contracts.
Aww.
Yeah.
But you can definitely abuse that. Like if you're picking contracts for like a carry-ish type of like 2,200 or 22,000 physical damage or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're not playing a physical damage hero. Like you can swap it out and get another person to help you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hit my magic damage one on Nyx, though.
Oh, well, it's magical or pure.
Yeah.
So I feel like it must have been the part of the pure damage, too, right? Because his ulti is pure?
I don't know. But I have no idea why how this happened. But Nyx is fun. I really enjoyed it. Have you
played Nyx at all? I mean, I play him every now and then, but I always have fun with him.
Yeah, like, I feel like there's you can do cool plays with him,
mm-hmm.
and he's not too hard. Like, the stuff is kind of straightforward
mm-hmm.
that you do.
I think his, what is it even called? His mana burn?
I think it's just called mana burn.
Is it called mana burn? It is called mana burn. Okay, his mana burn is different, I guess, because you have to... It's only effective if they have mana.
True.
So that's the only thing. But otherwise, yeah, like Carapace, I think is so fun because like you waddle in and you do stuff and then they'll like do stuff to you and you're like, aha, and you Carapace and then they're all stunned. Nyx is a lot of fun. And he has cute voice lines. I don't know. He's very, he's kind of weird, but in like a cute way.
Nice. I didn't really have much of a chance to listen to him. I think I was listening to music. Oh, the game, though. I should actually talk about it.
Sure.
We had the most obnoxious lineup, like, ever. Mm-hmm. I was Nyx because I wanted the set, so I was Nyx offlane. My offlane partner was Nick Cease from America's Third Favorite Dota 2 podcast, playing Techies.
Third favorite.
Yeah. And then... who is it? Pepe Sylvia was on Ricky.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
And we had like at least one other like horribly annoying.
Did you have a sniper?
We might have. Did we have a sniper?
Or a tinker?
Oh God. It was just, it was so awful.
Yeah. Techies Nick, Ricky is already. Blah.
I think Greg might have been Coddle.
That's also pretty annoying.
It's also really annoying. Mm-hmm. But like, Yeah, like Nick's Techies Ricky. And I think like at least one of the people on the other team was new. And so like he died like 19 times or something.
Oh.
Yeah, and like we just like tipped him at the end and we're like, oh, we're sorry.
Yeah.
Like this must have been like the most horrible thing. But like hearing Nick's joy when he got to move march the boys in, as he said, when he hit level 25 and he could just attack move with all of his minds. And like Nick's like you could like there's like outplays, you know? Like there's a quap on the other team and like I was able to spike back his ult like once or twice.
Nice.
Yeah, which like actually isn't that hard because like the spike carapace is on like a super short cooldown.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bought like an Ags and I was like burrowing myself in their base and channeling Meteor Hammer while burrowed. Like we were just doing the most annoying stuff in the world. It was horrible. I feel bad, but it was also really fun listening to Nick.
Nice.
Be happy. And also, I got the set, so hats before strats.
Oh, beautiful. What a great game.
It was. It went long, too. Because we obviously couldn't take high ground. Like,
and neither could they.
No, they couldn't, even, like, they couldn't even leave their base.
Yeah.
It was like 25 minutes of like us on their triangle.
I want to clarify. When I kind of scoffed at you saying third favorite, it's scoffing more that you would place another as second favorite. They who should not be named.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Nick Cease is the host of America's second favorite. Yeah, maybe that's the second favorite Dota 2 podcast. I don't
maybe.
Want to go on to the news?
Yeah. Let's do some news.
All right.
To read the future, I need entrails.
All right. There's big news in the Dota world, Charlene.
Big news? Tell me. Yes. Tell me what it is, Jim.
We have Anti-Mage.
Anti-Mage? But what do you mean? Anti-Mage is already a character, a hero.
Ah. A-U-N-T-I-E, Mage.
Oh.
Oh. Written out jokes are great radio, Charlene.
Yes.
Yeah, Anti-Mage. The persona has been released. Away. The female Anti-Mage.
Yeah, and this is so Reddit, but immediately people bring out their pitchforks and they're pissed. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was... Yeah, as I described in the Discord, the Reddit reaction to the female Anti-Mage persona was as thoughtful as I expected. You know exactly what it is. My favorite one was there was a whole thread about her how inefficient her stance is from a martial arts perspective. Like her legs shouldn't be this far apart, and like her arms are in a bad spot. Like she can't really fight this way.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I've never seen anyone like, you know, micro break down any of the other heroes this way. My favorite response to it was like a couple responses down. Someone's like, can't wait to see this guy break down Broodmother's stance. But yeah, some people are very upset about it. I don't know why. I think it's kind of cool. Obviously, I wish I could use my custom cosmetics with it, much like an ochre, but I mean, I understand, like, the technology isn't there yet.
Yeah.
Have you played with it or against it? Or I didn't even play with it much. Like, it dropped, and then, like, I had to pack to go on vacation.
So. Oh, okay. I have played a couple of games against it, and it's just Anti-Mage. I don't know. I don't see any major difference. Like, the hair, I guess, is longer in game, but I never click on like their portrait because I feel like that would be the main place where it's obvious that it's different.
Yeah,
like the hero portrait is different, but it's definitely not as obvious, I guess, as the Invoker persona, because like they're the entire stature and like how they move and stuff for Invoker's persona is different, but Anti-Mage's one, it like exact same color scheme. Not that I'm saying they need to change the color scheme because glance right. value, but just like so much about it is so similar that I had a really hard time really appreciating that it was different.
Interesting. From what I understand, the voice acting is where like the real effort and labor.
Oh, okay. Is. Yeah, so I was playing it as an opponent, so I'm sure like person playing it will enjoy it a lot because right. Right, you get the profile picture, but then also voice lines. But in game, it doesn't affect too much. I know that the blink and the ulti animations are different as well, but it just kind of seemed like an Arcana effect, but not as flashy, I guess, not as many particles.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense. I know they came out with a comic for it.
Oh, they did?
And, yeah. I showed my kids because they like comics and graphic novels and stuff. And mm-hmm. I read through it first to make sure. I mean, you know, what are they going to put in it? But I still just to make sure it's like kid friendly.
Yeah.
And the last line is something like, I will kill them all. But, you know, it's America. That's kid friendly. So I showed it to my daughter today because we were at the beach all morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so she just like came home and passed out on the couch, and I woke her up to, hey, check this out, trying to keep her from sleeping the whole day away.
Mm-hmm.
And she read through it and then she went right back to sleep, but mm-hmm. she did like it. She thought it was cool. And she likes, and she thinks Wei the Anti-Mage is very, very cool. So
yeah,
I think so too. I'm excited about it, but I don't really play AM.
Yeah, I found one particular theme of Reddit posts hilarious, which is them like nitpicking at the difference of the in-game model versus the concept art.
Oh my god! Yeah. Continue.
So, I mean, I guess I am not naive, and I understand that the concept art will be much like higher poly and polished than in-game. Right, like it's concept art. It'll be like even what they have for all the wallpapers and stuff. Like everything there is just so much more epic and like wow and things. And people are getting upset about like such trivial things, like jawline and skin tone.
What even was it? Like I saw the skin tone thing.
Yeah,
and I guess they made her skin tone a bit more orange, so it looks like the original Anti-Mage.
I just don't even understand.
Well, who cares? Like, who cares if it's orange?
Yeah. And there was like one guy photoshopping muscle away.
Oh, yeah. Arian wanted to mention this, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he has a position on female Anti-Mage.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Yeah. He said he was very upset when he read that someone had like rethought or like reconceptualized female Anti-Mage, and they just like removed like some of her muscles. And it's like, okay, that's entirely predictable, but also just really unfortunate. Like, if you do that, don't let anyone else know about it.
It's like applying real world criticisms that people have against photoshopping models into now like video game models and like taking it another step further. It is, yeah. It's like this thing, and then they're like, "No, that doesn't agree with my perception of how it should be. I'm gonna do this instead."
There's like a dissertation to write about, like people criticizing, like social media models photoshopping with like this Anti-Mage model. Oh man, right. I didn't even think of that. That's so. Because whenever I read the criticisms of that, I'm like, who cares? Like, I understand, like, I understand, don't portray unrealistic body types to people, whatever. But, like, mm-hmm. it's art. Like, just bizarre. Yeah. But so, wow, that's a great connection.
Yeah.
But I love it. Maybe I'll play AM now. Although I have the dumbest AM cosmetics, which I miss.
She can't have Under Armour AM.
I know, I have Under Armour AM with a short sleeve hoodie. He's so stupid looking. And like Wei actually looks cool.
Yeah. It's not good. Pretty badass.
I know. Like, that's not what I go for. I think I might have him in Cavern. Maybe I'll play AM. I feel like AM, I'd want to play him, but...
Wait, are you... So, do you have the persona unlocked? Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, I bought two of the...
Oh. Two of the bundles. And caches? Cache sets? Yeah. Okay, yeah, you're well ahead.
Yeah, I went through the bundles without looking to see what else you got with them. I was like, why do I have so many treasure ones? Like, dude, you got 18. I was like, oh, I just bought them.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, whatever. no shame in my game. So, patch predictions. I understand you guys did patch predictions before. I no longer have a commute. Thank you, coronavirus. So I don't listen to any podcast, so I have no idea what you all talked about.
Okay.
But you guys did patch predictions.
I don't remember what Arian and Sam talked about. I can remind you what I said though, which was TLDR, I think Ursa will be getting nerfed, and I predict that techies will get buffed.
Oh, that's a hit.
Yeah. I want it. I don't know. I kind of feel like Ice Frog has kind of been lurking in the, like, more of a battle techies. And I think that there will be some kind of change to encourage that.
Oof. maybe. I don't know. Let me think what my predictions are. Yeah, definitely Ursa will get nerfed.
Yeah.
How do I think he'll get nerfed? I think...
I said it would be to his Q. It would either be the distance or the percentage of the slow.
Okay, there's a slow.
There's a slow. Maybe even the cooldown, because it's so spammable. Like something to the Q has to be changed.
Yeah, it does so much damage. That's like how you farm up your Battle Fury now, by just like bombing everything. I think it'll be the jump distance, because they gave Abyssal the blink. I think Sven will get buffed.
Oh, okay.
Because I've always liked Sven. Mm-hmm. And I read a thread somewhere. It wasn't on Reddit. It was on, like, the buff or something. And they were talking about how every time they'd, like, tweak general game stuff, they'd have to nerf Sven or he'd get too good. Like, when they made Strength do a whole bunch of stuff, they cut down the strength that you got from his ult. And then they made Strength not do a ton of stuff, but they never upped his strength again.
Oh, okay.
And there's some other issue with Cleave, where, like, they changed Cleave around, they had to nerf his Cleave, but then, like, they changed it back, and, like, they did, I don't know. There's a couple things where, like, they change things, then change them back, like, universally, but then never address the fact that they, like, disproportionately impacted Sven. So I think Sven's ult will get a big buff.
Okay.
Probably cooldown reduction. It's my guess.
I don't really think Sven is weak right now. I guess I don't see him that much.
I guess the idea is, like, just buy a Battle Fury on Ursa. Although that counters 100% of heroes in the game. So saying that it, you know, renders Sven unviable is not really an issue. But I think they'll nerf Blade Mail. I think they'll get rid of the passive damage return.
You think?
Yeah, I think it's too good. It came out, everybody bought Blade Mail, and then they were like, wait, let's all buy Helmet Dominator, because that was, like, super overtuned.
Right.
And then he nerfed Helmet Dominator, but, like, yo, Blade Mail's still super good.
Right.
And I think they're like, because it's too good for farming. I also think they'll reduce... I think they'll nerf Helmet Dominator again. And I think they'll do it by reducing the mana regen on the dominated creep.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast. I'm going to repeat myself all the time anyway, so who cares? But if you dominate the tomato, you can clap off of cooldown and he will have max mana the whole time.
Really?
And so you can run and just clap
down. That's ridiculous.
You can
clap
down every camp and every wave with it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay, because I think the last time I ever played with, like, Helm of the Dominator, like, you can do maybe two or three claps.
Right. Yeah, he regens more mana in the clap cooldown than the clap cost.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I think they'll get rid of that. Those are my predictions. Ursa, goodbye.
Hopefully. What about Wraith King? Because I actually don't think Wraith King will get touched too much, and that was something that Fancy Pants asked about that I don't think I clearly addressed. I don't really think he'll get touched. What are your thoughts on Wraith King?
I don't think he will either. I think he's a very good hero.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at like very high level, he's not OP.
Yeah.
And I want, like, because he always has really high win rate. And it's just because, like, you can't kill him. It's the same reason, like, Abaddon has really high win rate. Because, like, it takes coordination to deal with. And, like, low MR people like me can't do that.
Yeah. But in the pro scene, you can.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he's not being picked that much professionally. He, like, only gets picked by, like, Hector and maybe Nico Baby sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he, which is good because I really like his style of play. And I'm good with it. So.
Yeah.
Let me have that frog, please.
Yeah. Okay. Good predictions.
I think Ursa nerfed. It's not I'm not going on a limb with that one.
No, but I think that one was low hanging fruit that I just immediately went for.
Yeah, but I think it has to be repeated by everyone. It's such an essential truth.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for the news. How about we do a hero of the week?
Okay, sounds good.
You're tougher than Axe thought. Come along.
Feeding time.
Have a cookie.
Meepo. More Meepo.
I love you guys. I love you guys.
The hero of the week is Anti-Mage.
Both A-U-N-T-I-E and A-N-T-I.
Yes, I don't know her voice actor, and I probably can't do it either for a variety of reasons, but I will stick with Anti-Mage.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay.
But yeah, we welcome all Anti-Mages.
Yes. What about like A-N-T-Y Mage? A tiny little ant with like a bandana. With the bandana and like, you know how Weaver has that blink? Is it blink? No, it's a Desolator, I think.
Yeah, Desolator cosmetic.
Yeah, but it looks like little blink, like little daggers off of his arms. I imagine a little anti-mage ant with like a cosmetic that has blades off of their front.
That's so good. That's things. That's the we like Dota tie-in for the TI-11 Battle Pass. New persona for Anti-Mage.
Perfect.
TMTM, that's ours.
Okay. All right. So little tiny Anti-Mage will have a Q, Mana Break. This is on every auto attack that they burn some mana. And 50% of the mana burned actually will also deal damage to the target. So both of those scale. So the amount of mana burned per hit and then the max mana burned. Oh, that's not the scaling part. The mana burned per hit is what scales. And apparently there's a max mana burned per hit that scales, but always 50% of it will convert to damage. And these scale from 28 up to 64 in damage, and then 1% up to 4%. And this just makes him able to trade, essentially, because Anti-Mage, whenever he hits you, will kind of do bonus damage on top of that and then make it harder for you to trade back with in terms of spells because you don't have any more mana. It's also potent when he eventually gets a Manta because all his illusions will also be burning your mana. And eventually having low mana matters for the efficiency of his, her animal ultimate. So
yes,
that's the Q. The dubs is Blink, and it's just called Blink. It has a minor cast animation, and as you scale it up, you basically get more range of being able to cast it. And there's a talent that you can actually take where every time you blink, you get an illusion that just is AI-driven to attack anything within a certain radius. So these are kind of nice because it's good for farming, for sure, because you can blink out of a camp when there's still like some health left, but the illusion will finish it off for you. Or it can even be used to confuse and divert people, because if they don't see you initially blink, and like they don't know that this is an illusion, it'll just be farming in lane and they might go on it because they'll think it's an anti-mage.
Yeah.
Even if they go on it, however, anti-mage has E, which is counterspell. So it's a self-targeted ability. It's basically a little lotus orb that it can cast. There is a passive with it, which gives them magic resistance, scaling from 15% up to 45%. So that's why you would want to scale it up, but taking a value point in it early on is good because the active is a 1.2 second shield where anything that gets cast on you won't affect you and instead will just be mirrored back to whoever cast it on you. Essentially the same as a Lotus Orb. So that, and then the ultimate is Mana Void. So for each point of mana missing from the target, Mana Void itself does some multiplier of damage. So in rank 1, it's 0.8. And then when you rank it up to 3, it's 1.1. So like however mana is missing gets multiplied by that multiplier, and that translates into amount of magic damage that you do.
Mm-hmm.
The eggs is interesting. So you can buy an eggs on Anti-Mage, and it'll create a buffer debuff on all hit enemy heroes in the area, and will cause them to essentially have like not as much cooldown. Is that right? Like it
adds 100 seconds to the cooldown.
Oh, it adds 100 seconds to cooldown. Okay. I think that's it, right?
Yeah, it puts the hero's highest cooldown ability on 100 second cooldown, and if it's already on cooldown, 100 seconds are added on top of it when they respawn.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of a weird axe because I don't think it feels very useful in fights, but I'm maybe against certain heroes. Because it chooses whichever one has the highest cooldown.
Yeah.
So if you have... does it apply to ultimates?
Yes.
Yeah, so I guess if you're against like an Enigma or a Magnus or even maybe a Wraith King, something like that, where they're very, very cooldown dependent on those big ultimate abilities, or maybe even Terrorblade with his Metamorph.
Yeah.
This could be a good pickup, but I think it's not very common. And then the hero talents at level 10, you can either take plus 15 attack speed or strength. I think people tend to take the attack speed. I'm not on Dota buff at the moment, so I don't know anymore.
Oh yeah, let me look. I always take the strength. I think it's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of strength.
10 strength. It is.
You build attack speed stuff anyway.
Okay. All right. It looks like I am correct. 60.6% of people will pick the attack speed, yeah. And that gives you a plus 7.7% win rate actually over the strength.
Oh, are you on Dota buff?
I am.
I have 60% of people pick 15% attack speed, and the strength gives you a 7.7% win rate.
Oh, is that what that means? Okay. Right. It's on the line. Well, all of these are on the bottom of the box. Is that per thing?
Yeah, it's because they're the better ones.
Okay. Never mind. So the strength itself is better, but more people will take the attack speed.
Yeah.
Okay, we're both right. Good.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, level 15, it's either plus 12 agility or plus 325 blink cast range. I think this is a toss-up, depending on the game. If you feel like you really need to, like, outpace them in some way, or, like, you really want that mobility, then the cast range will help you. But if you're more fighty, I think the agility will actually help you. But because Anti-Mage's general play style is not as fighty and more about, like, being a nuisance and always side pushing and just like at the end of a fight coming in and cleaning up, I feel like the cast range is both more picked and gives you the higher win rate. Mm-hmm. Level 20, minus two seconds on blink cooldown or blink uncontrollable illusion. So this is the one I was mentioning with the blink, you can get an illusion that will spawn and just kind of hit creeps for you. More people tend to pick the blink cooldown, but the illusion itself gives you a plus 6.9% to win rate. Level 25, minus 45 seconds on Mana Void, which is the ultimate, or plus 20% counterspell magic resistance. More people tend to go with the counterspell.
Yeah, it has a win rate too. Cool.
Did you get a chance to read the lore, or do you have any other tidbits about Anti-Mage?
I did read the lore.
Tell us.
He was a monk at the monastery of Tirstar Kuri. The Legion of the Dead God came to do exactly what it sounds like they would want to do. Legion of the Dead God attacked the monastery, and only one youth survived, Anti-Mage.
Mm-hmm.
He had yet even to be admitted to the monastery, but he watched in horror as the monks were slaughtered by the Legion of the Dead God, and he grabbed a couple of their scrolls and fled.
Mm.
And then he now swears to obliterate not only the Dead God's magic users, but put an end to magic altogether.
All magic. Your magic ends here.
Yeah. Have you, Charlene, ever heard the phony phone call of someone using an Anti-Mage soundboard calling up a magic shop in England?
No. No, I can't say that I have.
If not, it is a masterpiece of the Western canon.
Okay.
It will be studied at Yale and Oxford alongside Shakespeare.
Uh-huh.
It is absolutely wonderful. The guy at the magic shop comes at it with like just the right amount of like bristling at this guy,
mm-hmm.
To make it to like draw the call out. But it never gets so bad that like he's obviously upset.
Wait, so is it just Anti-Mage voice lines?
Yes.
Like no person whatsoever, just using the voice lines.
Yes, it's a it's a pure soundboard phony phone call.
Wow. Okay.
And it is glorious. Someone posted it in the Discord for America's second favorite 32 podcast, and I was reminded of it. I remember it from like years ago. It is so good.
I'll have to check it out.
It is one of the best phony phone calls I've ever heard, and I've heard many. It is great. So now I know you probably don't play Anti-Mage much.
Mm-mm.
I know Bay does.
Yes.
How do you feel about cosmetics? So you've probably been exposed to the cosmetics before.
Yeah.
Let's talk hats.
I like the one, let me find the specific name. It's not this one. Hold on, the art for that looks cool. It's this one. I like the Dragon's Disciple one. The one where he's like a half face mask.
Yeah, that was very cool. And then like
red garments. That description of it doesn't sell it, but it looks cool. You'll just have to trust me.
He is a man wearing red garments.
Yes.
But no, yeah, it's really true. It is very cool.
It is accurate. but it is not, it doesn't do it justice.
That is a description of what he's wearing. That one is cool.
I feel like, so there are also several other sets that, there's one like where his eyes are covered, which I feel like you would like. And then
I have that, of course.
Of course. Yeah. It's just that screams Jim. And we alluded.
This looks stupid. I think Jim would like it.
And we alluded to the Under Armour.
Yes.
So which one is that?
Exactly? Oh, I gotta find it. Like one of them has a chest piece that has like arm armor that goes over it. Mm-hmm. But the way it's coated, the chest piece, it looks like a workout t-shirt. Where is it? I forget what it is. I think it might be in the Witch Hunter set. And then you put the Hood of the Clergy aesthetic on, and it's exactly the same shade of purple as the t-shirt. So it looks like he just has a hoodie on, like he just came from the gym.
Yes.
With the hood up, I like that. And then I use the Arcs of Manta with that because I think they look cool. But that's a good one. I also have the one that Arian uses, which is like the pretty one. What is it? Fervent Conscript.
Oh, okay. That one's because, okay. I really like the Dragon's Disciple one.
Yes. Dragon's Disciple is very cool. Fervent Conscript is cool if you get the infused
versions. Oh yeah, just looking at it now, it's like purple hues.
Yeah, it turns like purpley pink.
But then like golden blue. Hair.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So
I think that looks pretty cool too. Mm-hmm. What does Bay use? Does he use Basher Blades?
Bay uses Basher Blades, golden Basher Blades, of course. And then I think he actually does have like main components of the Dragon's Disciple set.
Okay. Yeah, the Basher Blades, I don't care for them, but some people like them.
I was going to say, the Basher Blades, like the loading screen is cool. Just like how he like holds them over his head instead of having them to the side. But that doesn't actually affect anything in game.
Yeah. No, that is pretty cool. The real weirdos, the real perverts out there use like one Basher Blade.
And mix it with another blade.
Yeah, or like one golden Basher Blade and one Manta or something. I think Nick Cease uses that.
Yeah.
It's horrifying.
I did it once with like a Naga Siren set. Like I was like, oh, she's right-handed, so she's going to have like a cooler thing in the right hand and then like wimpier thing in the left hand. And I did that for a while and I was like, no, it's just too weird.
That never works. Maybe I should just do that for all the heroes that have like different left and right hands.
Yeah,
it looks so bad.
Bloodseeker is another one.
Oh yeah, Bloodseeker's cosmetics are awful for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
It's like giant bloody things.
Well, you can make them more awful.
Yeah, just one giant blade. good times. Yeah, so anti-mage. I don't know. How do you counter any mage? I guess you just hope someone picks the new persona when they don't know what they're doing because they want to use the persona. I suspect that will probably be
part of it. That's one way. Despite anti-mage having counterspell, Hex is probably the best way to deal with him because Hex is instantaneous. Yeah. So counterspell is really useful for like things with a projectile where anti-mage can predict, you know, to use it. But if you have like a blink lion or a blink shadow shaman, that you just like blink hex and they just can't do that unless they're farming and their spider senses tingle and then they happen to counterspell. I also particularly like lion over shadow shaman though, because you eventually get either AoE hex or multi drain for one of the talents. And both of those will really help deal with illusions because AM is very illusion based. He like cares a lot about being able to work around his manta style and mm-hmm. whether that's to like go in on someone and, you know, take all their mana and then immediately mana void them, or using that to debuff things and like get out of sticky situations. So if you can AoE mana drain or AoE hex, those will get rid of the illusions and then allow you to get on the real one.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
Have you ever, you don't play AM much.
I don't play AM, no, but I play with it and against it.
has Bay ever, what's it called? Spell blocked? Like, has he ever counterspelled a Doom?
Bay, have you ever counterspelled a Doom? Or anything cool?
Yeah. You keep repeating it.
Okay. He looked sheepish and he kind of nodded. He's done cool stuff with counterspell.
I bet.
No, I've seen very fancy footwork with counterspell, and also just like Lifestealer Rage actually is another one he'll do. He'll just like spider senses will tingle, and like we're playing against a techies, and he'll just like rage at the right time, or play against a lion, and like even though they have the blink hex, just magic counterspells that do things.
Just knows it's coming, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I was thinking Doom because that cast time is so long for Doom.
It's true, yeah.
You could do it. I was mm-hmm. also apparently anti-mage is by far like hugely disadvantaged against Meepo.
That's very true, yes, because Meepo's so anti-mage also heavily relies on blink, right? Like being able to get in and out of fights. And yeah. Meepo has 5 Meepos that can each throw a net. And net will prevent anti-mage from blinking. So once a Meepo gets on an anti-mage, he can just continuously throw nets with the other ones to hold the anti-mage down.
Yeah, wow. Anti-mage is Meepos. Meepo has a bigger advantage against anti-mage than he has against Broodmother, even. That's wild.
Mm.
I should start playing Meepo.
Get that 1-star.
Yeah. I get that 1-star contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all these people are going to show up to play with the new persona. They're not going to know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're still going to beat me, but maybe I'll make some cool plays.
Yeah. And like that said, any other heroes that kind of go through his ability to just blink out also really hurt him. So Slark is one. Viper, your boy Viper, he's another because he has a silencing carpet.
I've done that to animages where like once you hit 25, you throw it on the carpet and animage uses Manta and then is still trying to walk.
Right, because Anti-Mage does not want to buy a BKB. Anti-Mage just wants to rely on their like counterspell and Manta to get out of things. So once you like force them into having to buy an item to deal with you, it's a bad time for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good time. Mm-hmm. Playing Viper, good times.
Good times. Viper Arcana for 2020.
Yes. Yes, and fully endorsed. Here. Let's go to Noobs Ass Noobs, yeah.
Yeah, mosey on over to Noobs Ass Noobs.
Holy shit! If you want peace, you must prepare for war. If you want war, you must also prepare for war. The lesson is, always prepare for war!
First question is from Rex Cow. He says, is Vengeful Spurt dead? Does that mean her aura is ghost of her ghost?
I love that you read his typo.
You gotta read typos. Wait until I get to those ones that we've copied and pasted and the characters didn't even copy over, and it's just a weird ASCII thing. But yeah, he asks if Vengeful Spurt is dead and if her aura is therefore a ghost of a ghost. Is Vengeful Spurt dead? I don't think so.
But she's a spirit. And I thought she was, because didn't she get hunted by the people and, like, Skywrath was supposed to protect her, but he failed?
Was that how it goes?
I thought,
like, he liked her, but she didn't like him?
I mean, that's true, but let's see.
This is like a deep and complex narrative that I have not fully gathered here. She's the essence of vengeance, snared in an assassin's net.
At the cost of her wings, limping away. For free. Okay, so no, it sounds like she's alive.
Kinda. She was unwilling to live as a flightless cripple. I don't think you could say that anymore, by the way. And desiring revenge far more than earthly power, she drove a bargain with the goddess Skriok. And so she is an imperishable form of spirit energy.
Driven by vengeance.
Yeah.
So she does not have a body anymore, but she's just an angry soul.
Yeah.
So I think she's dead.
Yep. I think the answer is yes and yes, Rexia. Yeah. Her aura is a ghost.
Nice. All right. Next question from Dank. Is it shameful to have enough levels for arcanas of heroes you don't play? At something. I don't play Windranger, but needed the arcana because just in case I want it in the future. It's not shameful per se. Like, I guess just be responsible with it. Like, if you have the money to throw it, if you have the money to throw a Dota, like, go for it. Dota's great.
Yeah, but it could be shameful. It's just not shameful without knowing more. That's what I'm saying.
Basically.
No, I don't think it's shameful. Do it, you know. Do what you want.
Do what you want. Yeah.
As long as you're responsible, right?
How is your answer different from my answer?
No, it's not. I just had to make fun of you for the per se thing.
Oh, okay. That was all. Okay.
That was all I was doing. question from first time, long time, the Plaid Pirate.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Jim, that's me.
Yeah, that's you.
Parentheses, and others who have multiple kiddos, which is no one else on the podcast, but how did you decide to have multiple children? I can't imagine doing this more than once. I'll answer first, then you can go, Charlene.
Okay.
The answer is you forget. You forget and you have another and you're like, oh, I forgot, didn't I? And then my wife and I, we had ours about 2 years apart. We had what we called the dark years. I mean, our kids were healthy, so they weren't that dark. You know, we've been incredibly fortunate. I don't want to, you know, minimize, you know, the substantial suffering that lots of other people go through. But it's really hard. Mm-hmm. And I think there are two very little ones, and we did not forget after that, and that was it.
And that's why you have only two children.
Yes, that's why I have two children. And I'm not going to have three.
Yeah. Well, my answer, I guess, is about the same. The way it seems to be is that people will remember fondly about, you know, like, oh, but remember how sweet it was to, you know, have them take their first steps, and you just, you only remember the good times.
Yeah.
So like in the thick of it now, it's terrible. So hold on to this memory, Sam. Remember. And go into whether or not you guys decide to have multiple children, like go into it informed. Because I do think as a younger sibling, I really valued having an older sibling. Hmm. So I don't necessarily think that there's like any benefit to just having a single child, because being able to grow up with an older, younger brother or sister is great. But for me, like, I don't even want kids, so I never have to remind myself about this decision.
No, that's a very valuable perspective coming from someone who has a sibling, so I appreciate that. The other thing is there's a school of thought that says just have as many as you want, like right away, and it's going to suck and you just get it over with.
Uh-huh.
Like there are people who've come at it from that perspective as well. And that's a,
so like that's while valid. You're suffering, just continue it so that you can just get it all over with.
Yeah, it's going to be done. So at some point, it is awesome when they're older though. I really enjoy spending time with my kids now.
Yeah.
When they're very, very little, it's not that fun. For me, I don't enjoy it. I love them with all my heart, but, you know, mm-hmm. babies.
Okay. Next. So. Titus Andromedon wants to know, as a 5 support, what are you supposed to do early game if the enemy off lane keeps contesting pulls and you don't want to stay in lane and take XP from your carry? I think this was actually pretty thoroughly discussed in the Noobs Ask Noobs channel. And I agreed with most of it, so I'll just reiterate some of those points, which is that if they're contesting pulls, then that would mean that they're kind of away from the actual, like, creeps themselves where your carry is farming. So if they're doing that, like, that's actually generally a good thing, because as you mentioned, Titus, you don't want to stay in the lane and take XP from your carry. I think where it gets trickier is if they disrupted the pull and, like, now it's hard for your carry to, like, get back to a proper equilibrium and being able to safely support. I would say just like trade health points for securing carry space. Like, so as best you can, just, like, use yourself as a decoy and like, pull them away from things, just so that any aggression that offlaner has is directed towards you rather than the carry, because at least then your carry will be able to make the most of what's there.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I mean, after you answering that question, no one's going to listen to anything I say. So, that's the point. Ditto. The next question is from second time, long time, the Plaid Pirate. He says, how does Basher work with Sleight of Fist? It procs other things. Sleight procs other things. So what about Bash? I assume not, because I've never seen it in all my years, and it sounds OP. Yeah, it probably would be OP if it worked the way you seem to be thinking. The issue is that Basher has an internal cooldown of like 1.5 seconds, 2 seconds maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And so unless you're hitting like 80 things, it's going to go on cooldown on the first bash in your sleight of fist, and then you're not going to bash anything else.
Yeah. So it probably does bash something in there, but if you're like sleight of fisting 5 heroes, it's not going to recalculate it each time.
I mean, if you had like 100 creeps or something, you might be sliding through its entire cooldown, but
right.
You're probably losing at that point, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay, next question. Popo Nahu wants to know, what happened to the We Like Dota Insta page? I went to see if there was one, and the last post was from December 2016. Great question, because I didn't even know we had a We Like Dota Instagram page.
Yeah, news to me as well.
Yeah, let me go look at it. So maybe we'll check it out, figure out what the login credentials are, and revive it, because I don't think we even really knew about it.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. The top thing is handed control of We Like Dota Instagram to Josh the intern.
Is it really?
No. Oh, that's a tweet.
Oh, okay.
That's the top result to We Like Dota Instagram Google.
That would have been such a hilarious post.
Yeah. Josh is like, monetizing. Peace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Stay tuned, Popo.
I don't really know what we'd use it for, though, because I think the only time we ever really take pictures would be on, like, the Philly live show.
Yeah, just be one picture from the Philly live show.
Yeah. Maybe we'll, like, our next one will be a screenshot of us hanging out for our August 9th live show, but it probably won't be overly active.
We can do screenshots from games that we play when funny things happen.
That's true, but then we'd have to have someone responsible and, like, updating it.
I'm not doing that.
Arian. Okay, got it. next question. CVX wants to know, can anyone use the Dota Stack 1 and 2 channels for voice comms? Yeah, go for it. We're a casual podcast with a casual community. Just use it responsibly and don't invite people who you don't think will mesh well. But otherwise, go for it.
Yeah, by all means. I think they're there, so people could just use them if they want to stack up and chat. So go for it, CBX.
Yeah, you have our blessing.
Yes. Now, a warning to our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
The next question works a little blue. So we have a bit of we like Dota after dark.
Yeah. So if you're listening with your kids, earmuffs on.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. This is not going to be awkward at all.
No.
Thank God we're on video. Dully Kaschev asks, which hero gets you the horniest, and why is it the anti-mage persona? I'm going to come out. Gangbusters here. Have you seen Sexy Huskar, Dully Kaschev? Huskar has so many sets. He has got this crazy, like, Mad Max Fury Road set now.
Yep.
Particles and fire flying off him. He's got all kinds of stuff from the previous one, the previous cash set.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm using Sexy Huskar. He's just this naked green dude. And with
looking over his shoulder.
Yes! Yes!
That's the part that gets me.
There is nothing, to borrow your language, Dilly, hornier in Dota 2 than his ready animation with that immortal. I can't believe it made it past the censors. It is absolutely that.
I love it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely that. Arian also weighed in on this one. He felt very strongly. He said, yeah, if we're talking about this, I want my statement on the record.
Okay. Do your best Arian voice.
Okay, dude. It has to be the Quap Arcana.
That's pretty good.
But it's not, it can't be, I don't like blue. It's not the blue, it's the regular one.
Yeah. The red Quap Arcana, probably, for Arian.
Yes. He said it was definitely the Quap Arcana.
Nice.
So with your husband sitting next to you, apparently.
Yes.
talking to a random guy on the internet. Charlene, which hero gets you the horniest?
Oh man, your Sexy Huskar is a really good pick, and I'm kind of jealous that I didn't think of that. But yeah. before I
always think of Sexy Huskar.
Also, there's a dog next door barking a lot.
Right.
He's a cute little corgi though, so it's okay. Before you said that, in my mind, I had it as Kunkka,
because
Kunkka definitely has that the subtle gray hair streaks, and he just sailor vibes. Like he's rugged around the corners.
Keep going. Gray hair streaks. Yeah.
Yeah. What else? Yeah. He's got the double pipe. double eye patch. You know, you can't. Yeah, got me weak in the knees.
Yeah, he's lost a lot of limbs. If you've chosen your cosmetics correctly.
Yep. Got that veteran vibe.
Yeah. No, Kunkka, I think, often is brought up in these
Silver Fox. I think that's the exact phrase that I would use for Kunkka. Silver Fox.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sam probably would also pick Kunkka.
Yeah.
He always talks about Kunkka.
Sam understands.
Yeah, he gets it. On that note, let's wrap up this episode.
Thank you,
everyone, for these questions. They're really good. Everybody go out and play AM, especially against me if you've never played AM before. And check out our Twitter, apparently our Instagram.
But check out our Discord. That's where you'll definitely find us.
Yes, the Discord is awesome. If you're not on there, I have no idea how many listeners we actually have. We have a lot of people on our Discord. It might be all of them and more. But it's super fun. Everyone's nice. We got a bunch of new people joining the Discord recently. Come by. There's always friendly people to play Dota with.
Yeah.
If you'd like. And that's what we are all about. Any final words, Charlene?
Reminder about our August 9th show. Mark it in your calendars. It'll be 1 to 2-ish p.m. Eastern time. So hopefully that time zone is friendly enough for any European listeners that we might have, but also me on the west coast of North America. So, yeah, tune into that.
Yes, it'll be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye.